from the Lord. If you would, look in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We want to look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. When you found it, please say amen. And the word of God reads on this wise. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, nor shall ye touch it, lest ye shall die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And this morning I want to use for a subject, look out for the snakes. Look out for the snakes. I know this morning's message probably won't make anybody shout, but I can promise you it's sound advice that will help to make us better. I've come this morning to tell ye that it's time and past time for us to go on the attack. Somebody said, attack what, Pastor? God is saying that we as saints of God need to stop living on the defensive and begin taking on the offensive. See, we need to stop waiting on the enemy to attack us on all fronts and then become reactive. And what I'm saying is most church folk are reactive instead of proactive. In other words, what I'm saying is that we don't want to pray until something happens, and then we really want to pray. And see, we know that the world is full of snakes, but we never look out for the snakes until after we've gotten snake bit. In other words, if you would avoid the snake, then it's highly possible that you would have no need for what they call anti-venom. And see, anti-venom is nothing but God being grateful to you and getting you out of the mess because you've been bitten by the snake. In other words, you need to stop waiting on our children to get attacked, and we need to go on the attack against the enemy. You need to stop being reactive to the devil's attack on your marriages and instead be proactive. What am I talking about? I got to teach this morning, and if you're in a hurry, I'll see you next week. But see, what happens is we don't worry about our marriage until the thrill is gone. Amen. And see, what has happened is the devil has come in and taken up residence in your house, and you didn't do anything about it until it was all over. Amen. God told me to tell you this morning. You got to stop waiting on your finances to get attacked. And instead, you ought to attack things with your finances. In other words, what I'm saying is God makes us stewards over everything that he blesses us with. And we should be wise with the funds that God blesses us with. But instead, we want to borrow our way out of debt. It won't work. Look out for the snakes. See, when Jesus came into this world, he came into the world right off the hop attacking the enemy. And he showed us that we've got to be on the offensive in order to keep the devil off balance. And see, this morning, God is trying to raise up an army of people, not only that will defend positions, but will allow themselves to go and attack wickedness in high places. See, right now, church folk, we've been on the defensive part of the army. We let the devil just shoot at us however he wants to. And we're talking about, I'm just holding on. But devil, I come to tell you that it's on now. I'm on the offensive and not on the defense. Tell somebody it's time to attack. Now, if I came and went in your purse, ladies, and took every penny out of there, you're not going to watch me take it and then start praying tomorrow that God send your money back. If somebody puts their hand down in your purse, you probably going to knock them out because your name ain't Jesus. Amen. God Almighty. See, he's raising, God is trying to raise up an army in these last days that are filled with people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Anybody here sick and tired of being sick and tired? Amen. I know some of you here. You don't have to raise your hand. God already showed me to you anyway. But anyway, but God is looking for folk that have a made up mind that are not going to give in nor give up. See, through our trials, we've learned to acquire the strength of Samson. We've become to have the patience of Job and the faith of Daniel, the determination of Ruth and the fire of Elijah. See, because some of us have been through so much that now we know that we should have some unshakable faith, faith that can move mountains, faith that can scale mountains, faith that will go through mountains, faith that will sometimes even allow me to jump over the mountain. That's the reason I can say, Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me strength to climb. And in order to climb, you've got to be proactive. You've got to get your behind in gear and do some work to cross the mountain. Amen. I'm coming on in just a second. See, Job had the kind of faith that said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's the same kind of faith that Peter had when he realized that I'm not going to stay on this sinking ship, and it's time for me to get out the boat. And God is telling somebody this morning, it's time for you to get out the boat. Somebody say, what do you mean, Pastor, by getting out the boat? Some of us are so stuck in tradition that we'll go to hell for tradition. In other words, if we don't do something on a set Sunday, on a set month in the year, we get real upset. But the Bible tells me that the earth is the Lord. See, every day is the Lord's day. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. See, faith caused that widow woman to throw in the last pennies that she had into the offering plate because she realized where those few pennies had come from. And where those few pennies come from, she had some mathematical sense to say that pennies make nickels and nickels make dimes and dimes make quarters and quarters make dollars. Now, if I put these pennies back into the hand of the man that gave them to me, then I know he's got some dollars. I'm coming in a minute. That's the reason Paul was able to say, even though I'm fixing to be wiped out of here, he said, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. And I finished my course. God is trying to raise up an army of people that are not afraid of failing economy or crashing stock markets. See, some of us put all of our trust in our bank accounts. Your job. See, if some of us were to lose our jobs tomorrow, some of you in here would lose your mind. But see, I've discovered now that God is the supplier. How many believe that? He's the supplier of all your needs. See, God, you can't become paralyzed by the things that are taking place around you. See, right now, God is raising up some young people that really want to know the truth and really want to live in his precepts. God is trying to raise up some middle-aged folk that will stand for something and quit falling for anything. He's even trying to raise some old folk that think you're running and you ain't doing nothing but creeping and crawling. He's ready to even transform your mind into a state of saying, I'm ready to be proactive and not reactive. You know what? God even wants to raise up some folk that have lost everything they had. Anybody? Don't show me your hand. God wants to raise up some folk that have lost everything they have. Why? Because they will soon discover that he's got everything that they need. An army that's on the attack. How do I change from defensive to offensive? The first thing you got to do, I'm going to get on target in a second. Just let me do this like God told me to do this. The first thing you got to do is change your mind from being defensive into offensive. Now, how do I become offensive? You can't attack until you know who the enemy is. So you got to identify the enemy, because see, sometimes the church folk kill each other by what I call friendly fire. We destroy each other with our tongue and not actually ever fighting the enemy. Just tell somebody this morning, look out for the snakes. See, you've got to recognize the enemy in order to attack the enemy. Now in church, we got all kind of snakes. We got some bench member snakes that don't do a whole lot, but they just lay there on that bench and figure out who they can bite that might come in God's presence. Amen. We got some deacon snakes. Amen. That feel like they the pastor's boss instead of being the pastor's helper. Help me, Holy Ghost. It ain't nothing but a snake. We've got some praise team snakes. Amen. That seem like they feel like if they don't sing, that praise and worship won't go on. But the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's kingdom. And if you think you ain't that important, just die. I promise you, praise will keep going. Then we got some preacher snakes. Whew. That have bitten and paralyze God's people. I tell you, I call them pulpit pimps. Help me, somebody. And it don't matter what it is, a snake is a snake. Got some denominational snakes that won't allow the kingdom of God to come together, but they're trying to just stay in their own little corner. This ain't gonna shout you, but I know I'm right. Even Jesus said there were some sheep of another fold. And it don't matter. A snake is a snake. See, there was a story that was once told that there was a family in Florida. And they went to the pet shop. And they bought a Burmese python. And then they took it home with them. And they put the snake inside of an aquarium. Now, when they went home, the snake was about this big. But as time passed, the snake began to grow. Then after about 2 years, the snake was 12 feet long. Broke out the aquarium in the middle of the night. Slithered its way into the bedroom. Wrapped itself around their 2-year-old child and strangled her to death. Now that seems to be a horrible tragedy. But see, what happens is that's the same way that the devil gets us to believe, because if we something small, we'll allow something small to come into your house. Ain't smoking but a little weed. I ain't playing with but one or two rocks. And see, what happens, help me, Holy Ghost. Now, and we felt like there was a comfort zone because the snake was hiding behind the aquarium glass that you would be able to control it. But I tell you, if a snake gets in your house, I promise you it will get loose. You better tell somebody, you better look out for the snake. See, when it went home, it was a little bitty snake. That's right now. We experiment with things and we figure that we can handle it. But I tell you, the things that cause us to perish ain't nothing but a snake. The scripture that we read earlier gives us a picture of what happens when we fail to recognize the enemy. See, first of all, the Garden of Eden was more than just a garden. It actually was the home of Adam and Eve. It was their place of abode. It was their crib. Y'all know why we talk about it now. But anyway, when the serpent came in, actually, he was invading their house. And when we get to reading this story, we must remember that Adam was familiar with all of God's creatures. And the Bible said that he was given dominion over everything that creepeth and crawleth. So when the serpent showed up, it was nothing out of the ordinary. However, this time, the serpent wasn't out in the garden. The serpent was actually in their home. And then he began to speak things that were contrary to what God had spoken. Now, that should have been a red flag to Adam in the first place. And just like now, when somebody, thoughts come into your mind, and they're not thoughts of God, you better tell yourself, look out for the snake. See, God's word is not contrary into itself. And see, when the devil tells you to get somebody back, that wasn't God talking. That's you. That was the devil talking. You better look out. It's a snake. All snakes are bite. See, God had given Adam authority. But see, he sat back passively and he refused to take authority over the serpent. And when he refused to take authority, he placed himself in a reactive position instead of a proactive position. In other words, when he refused to attack the enemy attacked him, and it cost mankind dearly. Somebody look at me and say, Pastor, how did it cost me? Why do you think you have to go to work every day? See, the Bible says because of what Adam and Eve did, that man would have to earn his living by the sweat of his brow, and women would have to experience the pain of childbirth. So that's how the snake messed it up. You better tell somebody, you better look out for the snake. Now, sometimes we do just like Adam did. We don't worry about it. We join the crowd. But just because we made that mistake in the past, don't have to keep making it. Now you think about a snake. I'm going to get through in just a second. There are more than 2,900 species of snakes. And they can range in size from 4 inches to 30 feet in length. They come in all colors. Some are poisonous. Some are non-poisonous. But yet all snakes will bite. But I don't care if it's 4 foot long and beautiful as a rainbow, or if it's 30 feet long and big as that python, a snake is a snake. And see, let me tell you something this morning. The devil comes in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes he comes with a rainbow of colors, and sometimes he comes as an angel of light. Sometimes he comes in loud and boisterous. Sometimes he just quietly slides right on in. But what we got to remember is that whatever shape he comes in, a snake is still a snake. See, I don't care what you wrap yourself up in. If you're a snake will soon show its true colors. She might have a beautiful personality, but if God, if she tried to come between you and your wife, it's a snake. Whew. Somebody say, what are you talking about, Pastor? young ladies, he might come dressed in Abercrombie and Fitch. He might even have some muscle on his earlobes. Drive a 2010 black Mercedes-Benz convertible. But if he's trying to get you in the back seat, he's a snake. Help me, Holy Ghost. She might have a figure like a Coca-Cola bottle, hotter than the sun, and able to turn the head of everybody that she walks by. But if it causes you to compromise your moral standards, you better shout out, a snake is a snake. And you better look around you this morning. There's a snake in your midst. Sometimes we tell ourselves lies, don't we? Y'all ain't perfect. I know I'm not. Quit playing games with me. See, this is what he'll tell married folk. When times get hard and it get a little shaky, he tells you that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Ooh, gee, somebody, it's a snake. He telling you a lie because, see, absence puts folk in some tough predicaments. And a lot of times you make decisions that you shouldn't make. You better tell somebody, look out for the snake. Y'all don't want to hear this morning, but I'm talking from my heart. And you got to understand what snakes do if you're going to live up to God's word. And see what happens is, see, this whole message to this morning is about being able to recognize the serpent. Somebody said, well, how do I know if it's a devil or not? Well, you got two sources, the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Both will lead and guide you and direct you into all truth. Now, let me go back to the garden. Can I go back to the garden for a minute? Adam was familiar with this serpent. He was called a beast of the field, just another part of Adam's life. But just because he was familiar with it, that's the reason that he didn't see any danger with it. And a lot of us are around people that you're familiar with, and you don't feel any danger, but I tell you, a snake is a snake. Let me hurt your feelings now. I ain't talking about nobody now. Your mama might be a snake. I know she mama, but mama might be a snake. Sister might be a snake. Brother might be a snake. Cousin and auntie them might be a snake. And if you want to get snake bit, keep on hanging around snakes. I told you before, you need to get some of these folk out your life. Think about this. If you woke up in the middle of the night and a snake was laying next to you in your bed, how would you respond? I'm not talking about a 30-foot anaconda. I'm not even talking about a 6-foot rattler. But just a little old bitty 8-foot garden, 8-inch garden snake that squeezed under the door and climbed in the bed haphazardly. Now, even though he's only 8 inches long, and I know it's a garden snake, and he's not poisonous, I'm finna get up out of there because a snake is just a snake. Don't you holy folks sit there and tell me I'll just lay there and go to sleep. You're a liar, and the truth ain't in you. Don't tell me you won't recognize a snake and say, oh, everything's okay. You're going to say, there's a snake in the house. Church, it's time to attack. See, we got some folk that are like rattlesnakes. They make noise. They even warn you that they're around, and they just let you know that they're a snake. But we don't heed the warning. And we get bitten. I say, what do you mean by get bitten, Pastor? See, what happens is, the Bible has already told us the love of money is the root of all evil. And you figure that you're going to get all this money, but that rattlesnake is rattling now telling you, you ain't going to get rich. Poverty will find you.
if you don't seek God first, but you keep, I'm going to make this money, and then you get bit by the rattler, and then we come to God and pray for the anti-venom. I got to go on. Some people are like the coral snake. See, a coral snake looks like the king snake. I know you don't know anything about no snakes. But see, the king snake is a snake that eats up rattlesnakes, and poison don't bother it. King snake can even deal with a cobra, and the poison doesn't bother it. But I tell you, everything that glitter ain't gold. See, you can't go by looks, because the king snake and the coral snake are both red, black, and yellow. However, if red touch black, venom lack, he's okay. But if red touch yellow, it'll kill a fella. And what happens is, in church, we've got some king snakes and some coral snakes that look alike. They red, black, and yellow, but God is far from their heart. Help me somebody. That's to those snakes that pretend to be your friend. How do I recognize the characteristics of the snake? I got to hurry up. It was created by God, but it wasn't equal to God. The snake defies God and despises truth. John 8:44 says that he is a liar and the father of lies. Then when I look in John 10:10, it tells me that this snake came to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he will masquerade and make himself look like an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. But I tell you, whatever the devil meant for your bad, God will turn it out for his glory. See, when I look in John 6:70, Jesus said that you have not chosen me, but I chose you, and one of you is a devil. Let me substitute that word and use snake. See, when Jesus got ready to choose his disciples, he chose 12, and in verse 70 and 71, it tells us that Jesus was able to recognize the enemy. See, we all know the story how Jesus was with his disciples in the garden, and then the snake came along. You better tell somebody, look out for the snake. And the snake walked up and kissed Jesus to betray him. In other words, what Jesus had said was in verse 70 of John 6 was that Judas was a devil, and he knew it from the beginning. And see, you can't fool God. If you're a snake, he know you're a snake. But see, watch this. Judas came and kissed Jesus, but what the snake didn't realize that what he was doing was going to help God out. Watch this. See, I can see Isaiah saying that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. I can also recall the Bible saying that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Somebody said, what's good about this, Pastor? It had been prophesied that Jesus would be given over, and sometimes snakes just don't realize that they're helping you. See, as bad as they can be, watch this. Oh, sneaky snake eat rats. They help me. Even though they didn't plan to, they help me. Now watch this. Now one account says that Judas felt bad about what he did, and he returned the 30 pieces of silver and he hung himself. But this morning, I've come to tell you that we've got to begin to attack the snakes. Don't wait for the snake to bite you. I can now begin to thank God for the snake. Tell God, thank you for the snake. See, I know you're finna say Rigby's crazy, but I'm finna show you something. You begin to thank God for the snake. See, in our text, we see where a snake caused man's downfall and cast him out of the Garden of Eden. Then I see another snake coming into another garden called Gethsemane. And it's because of this snake. Somebody about to catch on now. It's because of this snake that Jesus went to Calvary. And the Bible said that he hung there from the 6th to the 9th hour. Why was Jesus hanging there? Ask somebody, why was Jesus hanging? You better tell them it was all because of the snake. The snake was the reason that Jesus was hanging there. I can see the big old snake called the boa constrictor now taking over after the little snake Judas had turned Jesus over. The boa constrictor was called death, and death called pain, and to squeeze the life out of Jesus. And right now the boa constrictor is trying to squeeze the life out of you. The devil is trying to squeeze the life out of you, but I tell you, you better look out for the snake. See, he's big enough that you ought to be able to recognize him when he shows up on the scene. Then the Bible said that they took Jesus and they hung him high. They scratched him wide. And I can see in my spiritual mind that invisible boa constrictor causing blood to run down. I can see him squeezing the life out of his body. And they tell me after a while, he said, it's finished. And somebody said, I told you, wasn't nothing to this man called Jesus. They took him down and buried him in an old grave. The boa constrictor thought he had won. He was still crawling about seeking whom he might devour. Then all night, the first night, the boa thought he had won because Jesus was in the grave. And they tell me all night, the second night, he thought he had won. But early on the third day morning, he got up. Tell somebody, he got up, broke the hold of death, and said, grave, where's your victory? Death, where is your sting? See, somebody said, you can't nobody hold me down. Why? I'll rise again. I might die down here, and the snakes may bite me from time to time, but I'm thankful that I've got a snake handler to handle my case. Because the Bible says that everything was made by God. And see, one of these days, tell somebody, one of these days, the snake fighting days are going to be over. What are you talking about, Pastor? When I look in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the Bible says, and the devil who had deceived them was cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet, and they would be tormented forever and ever. You better tell somebody, the snake's getting ready to be locked up. The snake's getting ready to be locked up. And right now, as you go through life right now, it seems like everywhere you turn, you don't see nothing but snake. See an envy snake. See a jealousy snake. See a hatred snake. But I tell you, one of these days, I'm going to not have to worry about snakes anymore, because God's going to call it all in. And see, right now, the devil is wreaking havoc in your life. Some of your snake bit. Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. We got some snake bit Christians out here. The venom has paralyzed you. You're too stiff. You won't even put your hands together to pray. But I understand you're just snake bit. And I know some of you came in here and you prop your behind down on this seat. And it might have been some church member snake in here. And they bit you in your buttock so you can't stand up. But I thank God one of these days, hey, fighting snakes gonna be over. And see, why is it gonna be over? Because see, the Bible says that Jesus said, I'll do the separating. See, I know sometimes church folk have to grow up with snakes, but he said, I'm gonna separate the wheat and the tares. And see, what's gonna happen? He's gonna put the saved folk on one side and the snakes on the other side. And let me tell you, all your little snakes, get ready to join the big snake. They're going to be cast down into the lake of fire. And the Bible says that the snakes don't burn forever and ever. I wouldn't be a snake. You can cross over right now. I tell you, God is standing with arms wide open, saying, quit crawling on your belly and stand up like a man. Snakes crawl on your belly. It's time to get up.
on the offensive. It's time to fight these snakes. You know what the snakes are. The sin that easily beset us. Quit playing games. Get the snakes out your house. Get your snakes out your church. Get your snakes off the praise team. Get your church off of this board and put the board on some of them folk. Hey. Talking about our board, need to put the board on some of these snakes. God will help you to recognize the enemy. And right now, church, the devil fooled Adam and Eve. And he's playing tricks with some of us. But the devil is a liar. We want to get rich quick. But the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. We feel like that if I just show up at church, everything will be all right. But baby, you're just a snake at church. The Bible says, be ye transformed. First of all, by the renewing of your mind. See, snakes have a snake mentality because of the curse that God placed on them. And if you go back and read that chapter there, you'll discover that, and we hadn't been told this, amen, that when that serpent came, he was walking upright. Go back and read your Bibles. And then God told him that his curse would be that the foot would bruise his head and he'd have to eat dust the rest of his life. That's the reason snakes crawl. Amen. And right now, God has already told us that we ought to have the best of things. Amen. Amen. Don't look at me like that. Amen. He said, above all, I would that you prosper and be in health. So God wants us to have nice things. He said we ought to be the head, not the tail. And right now, it seems like we're getting the tail end of blessings. Maybe it's because you're eating dust. Why am I eating dust, Pastor? Because you're crawling like a snake. But God is saying right now, stand up on your feet and be who God called you to be. And see, when we get filled with his Holy Ghost, we're able to recognize all those snakes that man places around you. See, everybody said they're your friend, not your friend. But I trust, I say, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Why am I grieving, Pastor? Why am I crying, Pastor? This is all because we do not carry everything. Your finances, your marriage, your children, your family, your church. Everything should go to God in prayer. And once you recognize who the enemy is, you're able to avoid being snake bitten. I'm finished. That's just like right now. See, in order to be bitten by snakes, you got to go to where snakes are. Amen. See, in the wintertime, you don't see snakes crawling around. They're out in the woods and they're up under logs and up under leaves. And unless you go up under the log or the leaf, you ain't going to get a snake bit. But we got church folk that's curious about what's up under the log or under the leaves, and you get snake bit. Even in this time that we live in today, in summertime, getting to be summertime, it's warm, so snakes ain't hiding. They out crawling. Something ain't in the middle of the road, so you ought to be able to see a snake. Folk ain't no heroes walking around in here. I'm talking to young folk now. Folk that thought they were heroes, they either in jail or hell. Y'all missed it. I'm for real. Ain't no heroes walking in Gadsden. Look out for the snakes. May God bless you. May he keep you. Let's just give God some praise right now. We extend the invitation to anybody that wants to come this morning and say, I need to get it together. Don't want to be a snake. You can come right now. Don't worry about what they say, he say, she say, because they say they're apparently not helping to solve your problems. But you can put everything in Jesus' hand, and he'll help you to recognize the snakes, and we won't be bitten. Watch this. Somebody say, we won't be bitten. You won't be bitten as often. Why? Because the devil came. He said, I'm walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom I may devour. So he's going to be at you because he's mad because you're saved. And some of you been bitten and you're paralyzed. And you need to come down here this morning and get the anti-venom. Salvation is an anti-venom that will stop you from dying from snake bite. Let's give God some praise one more time. Come on. He's good. Amen. Just thank God for your presence. And make sure we recognize who the enemy is. And once you recognize him, what should you do? You ought to admit. If you recognize the enemy, what you ought to do to him? You ought to go after him. It's called attack. If you know gossiping is the snake that bites you all the time, quit talking on the phone. Amen. I got some Facebook participants in here. Amen. Stay out of folk mess. That snake bit. It's bad that our mentality is so weak that we want everybody to know our opinion. Don't nobody really care what you think. It's a networking for, y'all understand. Yeah, you understand, but I'm going to leave that alone. Thank God for your presence. Thank God for you all coming this morning and having a mindset to be here. And just keep in mind all of our announcements and our events that are coming forth. Are there any other announcements? If not, on last Sunday, did someone lose a ring? Did someone lose a ring on last Sunday? Amen. Amen. Today at 4 o'clock at First Baptist in Alabama City. Anybody lose a ring or heard about somebody that lost a ring? Amen. We're going to say this one more time next week. And then nobody still don't say the ring. It had it been somebody just passing through, because I know true believers folk here every Sunday. Amen. Every other. Amen. We'll leave that dog where it is too. Amen. Let's all stand.